prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
This is going to be an awesome show.
Mm-hmm. We contend that faith and reason can coexist. They don't have to fight, and you put them in the box. They get along just great.
That's right. We don't believe things just because our grandpas told us to. We believe things because we think that's where logic leads.
Right.
We want to follow our brains.
Exactly. And it's okay to question things.
We love questioning things. I question Dave all the time.
What?
I'm going to question your motives right now for doing this. No, I'm just kidding. No. All right. Today we're talking about the law of human nature, as C.S. Lewis puts it.
Mm-hmm. Now, C.S. Lewis, he's the guy that wrote the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
But he wrote so much more, and he gets a lot of credit for just having written
the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, and that whole series there. Right. But a lot of people... I think that's what he's known for, but if you dig deeper into this guy's library, you'll find that he's a staunch Christian, and he's written a lot of different books on a lot of different Christian subjects.
Absolutely. He is a very, very prolific writer, very intelligent guy, and C.S. Lewis argues that there's this law of human nature. It's a law as true as gravity. It's absolutely true. It's basically moral laws of right and wrong. Right. And he's saying that these moral laws are real and they're absolute and they cannot be changed. He says, quote, the human idea of decent behavior was obvious to everyone.
Yeah.
And what he's going to do is he's going to point out, and this is what we're going to talk about today on the show, that the morals show that there is a God.
Uh-huh.
The fact that human behavior is obvious to everyone, what we should or should not do, should lead us to the conclusion that there is some sort of moral lawgiver, because it's the same for everybody. And so there must be some common giver of these moral laws. It can't be derived from another source.
Sorry. So what about children? I mean, you think children have this moral knowledge in their head? I mean, are we born with it?
Yes, in a way we are. I mean, now we're going to, today's show, we're going to talk about adults, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main one we're talking about, because there's probably like a certain level of cognitive ability that allows you to process information. And children don't always have that same level of ability to process information as adults do. And so as you grow up, you start to collect morals, right and wrong. You understand them with your mind. But at the same time, even little kids, man, they understand, don't take my toy. This is mine. They feel like an injustice has been done if you take their toy.
Right. But do you think, I mean, they feel like an injustice has been done, but isn't that more like a selfish thing? Aren't we like, selfish as children? Isn't that what the overriding thing is for children rather than a justice thing?
Look, I'm not going to say children aren't selfish.
Right.
Children are selfish. But if you take a toy away from my 2-year-old, he will not only feel wrong because he wants that toy, he feels wrong because he had it first and you should not have taken it.
Right.
It's not just, I want it, it's you should not take it. It's these should or shouldn't statements, like those kind of show morality a little bit. It's not sufficient to show all morality, but they show morality a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's not just, hey, you have a toy and I want that toy. It's, I had this toy and you have done me wrong by taking it away from me. I'm going to attack you and bite you on the head now.
Right. So the difference between justice and selfishness is basically you shouldn't have for justice, and I want that for selfishness.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically. And the toddler knows the difference. And we help them understand the difference as they grow up, too. But, when you think about this, do we, and listeners here, think about this. Is human behavior decently obvious to everybody throughout the world?
Well, I mean, you think it should be.
I think it is.
Because it's obvious to everybody in my neighborhood. It's obvious to everybody, at least I like to think it is, to everybody within my state or county.
Okay, let me pose a question. Let me pose a question. Imagine you're in a Nazi camp, and they had shot 100 Jews and piled them up. Most of them were dead, but some were still alive.
Okay.
They direct you to bulldoze the bodies, with some people still alive, into a large hole to be covered up. if you refuse, they'll kill you. Would you do that? And most people say, yeah, I would.
That you'd refuse to do it?
No, that they would do
it. That they would do it? I don't know if I could do it.
Well, if you say yes, I would go ahead and bulldoze these people who are shot, even though some of them are alive, into this hole. You also, the follow-up question then is, what if they gave you a gun and told you to shoot the people who are still alive? Would you do it? And most people say, well, no, I wouldn't do that. But why not? Isn't that less cruel than burying them alive by dead bodies? Now, the point is this. I'm not telling you you should or shouldn't do either one.
I'm getting really kind of flustered over here because my brain's getting gummed up with all this dilemma stuff you're giving me again.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do here. I'm trying to point out this. We often don't think through our morals deep enough.
Right.
We have contradictions and different expectations of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the situation changes a little bit, we're willing to do an entirely different thing.
Right. We did a show on this probably about maybe 6 months ago on morality.
Oh, yeah.
On dilemmas and stuff like that. Yeah. And I remember being totally...
The show was on philosophy.
Philosophy, right.
Yeah, and we had some moral dilemmas. Uh-huh. The point was you need to know your philosophy of life.
Exactly.
For your life. And today's question, though, is can different cultures have different values and morals?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, how far do they go? How different are they?
All right. Okay, check this out. Infidels.org. They have posted basically what is a logical argument. Okay?
They posted a logical argument on the...
Well,
I'm happy for them. That's very nice.
All right. Well, wait till you hear the logic before you get all happy about it. All right. From basically what they're saying is, number one, if God exists... that he is a being who is omnipotent, omniscient, and benevolent.
Okay. Omnipotent means all-powerful.
Yes.
Omniscient means he knows everything.
All-knowing and benevolent being just a very kind and nice, you know.
I love you.
Yes, very loving. Okay?
All right. So God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and totally loving.
Right. And if God exists, which this is their second argument, it would be in God's interest and within his capacity for all human beings to know his ethics perfectly. And three... all human beings do not know God's ethics perfectly, which is shown by the disagreeing about many moral values. Therefore, God does not exist.
Wait, time out.
I didn't say that it was sound or valid. I just said it was a logical argument.
Okay, look. First of all, I agree with number one. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and benevolent. That's true. But number two... it would be in God's interest for all humans to know his ethics perfectly.
Right.
Now, if they're arguing against a Christian God, that's a good argument. If they're arguing against God in general, this is a bad argument because they can't know that about God.
Right.
That it's in God's interest to tell everybody this.
Okay.
They can't know that unless they understand God's mind and plans.
Right. And of course, us being humans, our minds are finite anyway.
Sure. So number two is invalid. But even if you're talking about a Christian God, you still can't know that God, it's always in God's interest for everyone to know his ethics perfectly. So you still can't prove that. Now, but let's just grant that to them.
Okay.
Even if God, and I'm talking on the fly here because I didn't sit down with this for like an hour, but even if God is all powerful, all loving, etc., and even if he should or wanted everyone to know his ethics perfectly, it doesn't necessarily mean that God doesn't exist just because not everybody agrees on their values.
Right.
Because people can reject God.
Right.
You can reject some of those values too. That doesn't mean God doesn't exist. That means maybe you've rejected God's values.
Right. And it all goes back to the very, very basic, we've been given the freedom of choice.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm, free will.
Now, and beyond that, and this is what I'm going to talk about a lot today.
Okay.
I think you can show that people's morals are almost all identical throughout the whole world and all time.
Really?
In fact, Christopher Hitchens agrees with this. Christopher Hitchens is a famous atheist. We use him a lot on the show because he says so much. He said...
Our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us.
He said our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us.
And if our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us...
we all know it.
Then where does it come from?
And so this atheist argument is totally wrong anyway. This atheist argument is saying... we don't all know. Christopher Hitchens, he doesn't say we don't know. He says our
knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like a famous atheist.
He's a famous one. So, as C.S. Lewis says, if anyone will take the trouble to compare the moral teaching of, say, the ancient Egyptians, Babylonians, Hindus, Chinese, Greeks, Romans, what will really strike them will be how very like they are to each other and to our own. Men have differed as to whether you should have one wife or four, but they have always agreed that you must not simply have any woman you liked.
Right.
I find that a really, really good point, because what he's pointing out is that there's overarching values.
Right.
Although the details of how it works changes.
All right, but check this out. You know, back in the caveman days, they carry around a club, they'd hit a woman over the head, drag her off by the hair. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but that's how it's portrayed.
It's not.
In a lot of movies, cartoons, yada
Fred
yada.
Fred Flintstone.
Uh-huh.
That's... We don't have any evidence that that actually happened.
All right. Well, I just wanted to hear it from your mouth.
My mouth says it did not happen like that. Or at least we don't have any evidence that
there's
it
no evidence,
like
right?
That.
All we have are bones and stuff. So.
Okay. But let's, I'm going to give a bunch of scenarios here.
Okay.
And we're going to discuss whether or not these morals are actually different.
Okay.
Because a lot of people say, well, no, but every society has their own morals. They're different cultural values.
And so it seems.
And so it seems. Mm-hmm. For instance, in the USA, we don't eat puppies.
Ugh. Oh, bad flavor.
In China, bad flavor. In China, they do. What's the overarching moral here? Because it looks like we've got two different values.
It totally does.
And but
how do they connect?
The reality is, in China, you're not going to eat your girlfriend. If you do, you go to jail.
Right. Okay.
You don't eat things that you love.
Okay. And that's true here in the States.
And that's true here in the States. You don't eat those things you love. If you love your puppy, you're not going to eat it.
And
if you love your spouse, you're not going to eat your spouse. Like, that's just not what you do.
Right. So do you think that's a moral imperative, or do you think it's just, I like my wife, therefore I'm not going to eat her?
I think it's an interesting ethical analogy.
Okay.
We could go really far into why you don't eat those things you love, but let's not go there.
Right.
All right. In the USA, killing a person from another neighborhood is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in South America, in some tribes, years ago, they said killing a person from another tribe was okay.
Right.
So is murder wrong or wrong or right? Which one is it? Well, there's this overarching value that killing is wrong.
Uh-huh.
But in the South American tribes, those other tribes are viewed as enemies. You are not allowed to kill a member of your own tribe.
Right. Okay.
That was a rule they had.
So you can just go around killing people willy-nilly.
No, murder was wrong. They just defined it differently.
Right.
And this is, we got a few more examples about like polygamy or spanking or abortion, where different cultures define it different ways. And we're gonna get that on the other side of this break here. Got some more quotes from our good friend, Christopher Hitchens.
Our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us.
And he's saying right and wrong, it's innate within us. And we're going to say that this proves God exists. He's going to say the opposite. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. KFAPA.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does the dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. It's Truth Revolution we're talking about today.
What's up?
The law of human nature and morality and stuff like that. It's another one of those subjects that just really, it takes a lot of thinking. And anybody that knows me,
whatever,
knows that I don't like to think a lot. I just like to do.
Whatever, you're totally fine.
Right.
Okay, look, so you go to our website, truthrevolution.tv. You can hear this show again. Sometimes we do extra at the end of shows, so you can get there to get any extra we do.
Right.
10, 15 minutes,
right.
3 hours.
You can donate to keep the show on the air.
Yep.
A big thank you to all the people that have donated so far.
Yeah, you guys really, you make this happen. Dave and I get out here and we talk crazy, but you guys make this happen. Thank you to you, everyone who gave to Revolution Church.
Yeah, and it's enjoyable to know that there are people out there that are being blessed and feel the need to go ahead and send blessings back.
Absolutely.
And so perpetuate the whole blessing cycle.
It is. It's great. And if you have any questions, send them. Questions at truthrevolution.tv. You can go to our website and submit questions there too. We love to get questions. And I've got a little challenge out there right now. If anyone can find a question that I can't get an answer to sufficiently, I'll buy you a candy bar. I don't care.
There you go. A candy bar of your choice.
It's not a big prize, but you know, hey, as long as I want a question, answer.
Just make sure he can buy it here and not have to like import it from India or something like that.
Yeah, if it costs more than $5, I'm not buying it.
Right.
All right. So Norman Geisler, he says this, responses of moral absolutists to moral relativists. Mm-hmm. Now, moral absolutists, that's what we're saying we are.
Right.
Because morals are the same throughout all cultures, all times. And this proves God exists, because where did those morals come from? He says, if indeed there's widespread disagreement on moral issues, a point we've seen in question is questionable. It does not follow that there's no correct moral position, nor does it follow that we cannot discern a morally correct view. In other words, just because you find a society that seems to have different morals than yours doesn't mean you're both right.
Right.
Doesn't mean there's no correct moral point. It means one of you may be wrong.
Yeah, and it's okay to say that.
It is okay to say that.
Yeah, because, you know, in this day of political correctness, you know, people are like, well, you know, it's okay for them.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes with moral absolutism, I mean, we believe that you can't just, it's not just all right for them. I mean, it's
exactly
wrong.
Now, we've pointed out a number of situations where in our society, like, you know, don't eat puppies, China, it's okay to eat puppies. We pointed out the moral overarching goals there. The reason the moral is really the same, it just works out a little differently in different cultures, but the moral is the same. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, says, human beings all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way and cannot really get rid of it.
And that's the truth. I mean, you know, just like you said, we don't kill the things we love. We don't eat things that we love, unless, of course, it's a big, nice, juicy steak.
Yeah.
You know, there's something inside our brains or our souls or wherever that compass comes from that tells us you just don't do that.
That's right. Listen to Christopher Hitchens explain this a little bit more.
I think our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us. Religion gets its morality from humans. We know that we can't get along if we permit perjury, theft, murder, rape, all societies at all times, well before the advent of monotheism, certainly.
Okay, now he said here that it is innate within us, but then he also said religion gets their right and wrong from humans, not the other way around. Now, this doesn't make any sense. He's contradicting himself, because if it's innate within us, we didn't create it. We didn't make it.
Right.
It's innate within us.
But yet religion gets it from humans.
Right. And we're saying religion doesn't get it from humans. Humans get it from God.
We agree with his first part.
It is innate within us. But he can't say it's innate within us and then go on to say, because we want to get along with each other, we realized you can't steal and kill and get along with each other. Something's not innate within you because you realize it doesn't work later.
Right.
Those are two different things.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's almost like a dead end that he's talking about.
Furthermore, he said,
murder, rape, all societies at all times, well before the advent of monotheism, certainly, have forbidden it.
All societies forbid rape and murder. We agree. But he said, well before monotheism. Not true. Not, I don't know where he gets that from. Monotheism is the oldest established religious system.
Well, I see he's talking about back in the caveman days when they used to beat women over the head and with a club and drag them away by their hair.
Well, he's using old information because it used to be believed that polytheism mm-hmm. was the oldest belief. Like, there was lots of gods and eventually got synthesized down to one. But if you look at the Ebla tablets, we're not going to go into this today. You can go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, type in Ebla, E-B-L-A, and you'll find out more information. If you look at the Ebla tablets, you'll find that monotheism really was the earliest belief of mankind. Right. So monotheism was there a long time ago. So Hitchens is just wrong on this.
Well, he seems to be wrong on a lot of things on this show. You know, so.
Yeah. I love to quote atheists because their points are wrong.
Right. Well,
I have yet to find a point that makes me sit back and go, oh, man. That's trouble for us.
Right. And we're not here to say that atheists are stupid in any stretch of the imagination.
No, don't. Yeah. If anyone thinks I was saying that, that's not what I was saying.
Because Christopher Hitchens obviously is a very smart
individual. He's very intelligent. He's very intelligent. And there are many Christians. This is why we do this show, because we want atheists to know the truth. But there's many Christians out there who spew off the top of their heads without knowing what they're talking about.
And we need to know how to come back to these things.
Right. And so anyway, C.S. Lewis also says that humans do not in fact behave in the way they know they should. They know the law of nature and they break it. He's saying, and they know it.
Right.
And we know we've done wrong, even when we do wrong and we do it anyway.
Right. Well, even, you know, when a child, I know we were talking about adults, but even when a child bonks somebody over the head, you know, they know that that's wrong because what do they do? You know, either go run and hide or, you know, look down at the floor and be like, oh, I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, and here's the deal. I mean, we can all recognize examples of moral and non-moral judgments. Mm-hmm. Without possessing some set of, you know, super conditions, you have to, if X, 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 or Y, 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 this is moral, this isn't moral, you know what's right and wrong without it having to be defined. Some people try to define what is right and wrong. They say, oh, well, a judgment is moral only if it's universalizable.
Is that even a word?
Yes. All right. A judgment is moral only if it's universalizable. That is, if it applies equally to everyone in all relevant similar situations. I've got something wrong with my tongue today, Dave. I can't talk.
Evidently.
Yeah. Basically, what this is saying, some people will say, is something's morally based if you would apply it to every similar situation as long as there weren't odd circumstances. For instance, you could say lying is wrong, and that would apply to every circumstance, and it could be called a moral action. We could lie to save someone's life, but that would not be a similar situation. But the problem is, if something seemed immoral, but we were unable to point out a clear distinction between that event and another one, it might not be able to be moral. It might still be immoral or moral, whatever the opposite is.
Right.
Basically, just because you can't make a clear distinction between two different events doesn't mean you can't say one's wrong and one's right.
Right. And
you know innately what's wrong and what's right.
Right. And that gives us, a lot of people say, well, that's just black and white. Well, it is, but it really isn't. I mean, because sometimes there are some things that will preempt, like, you know, what should I do here?
There's gray.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of gray area there.
Another definition people try to give for morals is, well, a judgment is moral only if it's prescriptive imperative that recommends actions, attitudes, and motives, and not merely a factual description about actions, attitudes, and motives. Did you catch that?
English, please? I know you were speaking English, but I didn't recognize it.
It basically means that moral judgments are ought to statements.
Right.
Kind of like we talked about at the beginning. It should be this way, it shouldn't be this way, should or shouldn't, ought to, ought not to. Those are moral statements. And whenever you say ought to or ought not to or should or shouldn't, you've made a moral statement. But the problem is there's lots of ought to's that aren't morally based. For example, you ought to smile when someone smiles at you. Well, if you don't smile, have you committed a moral sin?
No.
Like, no, we wouldn't say that. But the point here that I've gave some crazy jargon in the last couple minutes, but the main point is you can all recognize examples of moral and non-moral judgments without a definition. You don't have to have a definition to know what is right and wrong.
Right.
We're going to come back to that in just a minute, to why that matters. But first, let's go ahead and, before the show's over, do our Bible contradiction.
Okay, let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
Just about forgot about this.
Our brains were mushy. Yeah. Our listeners' brains were mushy.
All right. Check it out. Contradiction in the Bible. The Lord is good to all, or the Lord is not good to all.
Okay.
Psalms 145:9 says the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Although Jeremiah 13:14 says, I will smash them one against another. Parents and children alike, declares the Lord. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them.
Okay.
Does not sound like the Lord is good to all. There is a definite contradiction there.
Well, let's go back to the first one.
Okay.
The one in Jeremiah, he's talking about judging people. He's really angry. He's going to judge them. And sometimes people have to face judgment for doing wrong.
Right.
We'll just assume that one's correct. And look at the other one. Okay. How could this... Let's read that again.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. That's Psalm 145:9.
Okay. Just because God is going to judge you for doing wrong doesn't mean that God wasn't good to you.
Okay.
He created you. He gave you life. He gave you food. He gave you bread. He gave you wisdom. He gave you the ability to know right from wrong.
And every chance to succeed.
And people still chose wrong, so they must be punished. This isn't a Bible contradiction. This is simply saying God's good.
Mm-hmm.
God does what he has to take care of people. And he will love you. But also, at some point, if you continue to reject him, he's going to punish you.
Right.
This isn't a Bible contradiction. It's just reality.
Wow.
So...
It's almost kind of a scary one. I thought maybe you would throw the whole destruction thing out the window, but...
What do you mean?
Well, I was kind of hoping you would.
You thought... I'm not going to throw the whole destruction thing out the window. Anyway, that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. All right, back to our human nature, the laws of human nature and stuff.
Okay. Right and wrong. We all know right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says that God's laws are written on the hearts of men.
And the fact that we all know right and wrong means it came from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk... Some people say it comes from evolution, Darwinism. We know right and wrong because it was produced in us by evolution. We're going to answer that after the show in our special segment. So go to truthrevolution.tv.
More time.
I'm looking at the clock. We don't have enough time. I want everyone to come out to Revolution Church Sunday morning, 10:15. Right. So you got just 20 minutes. Yep.
That's 1111 West South.
Yeah, 1111 West South Street.
Coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. 20 minutes.
So you got plenty of time to get your jammies off and some other clothes on. Or if you don't, just come over in your jammies as long as they're appropriate for public consumption.
Well, we've seen pajamas here.
We have.
But they've been appropriate. So more like sweats, I guess.
Also, truthrevolution.tv. Check out the website. Ask any questions you want. Send the shows to your friends. Okay, listen. C.S. Lewis said, the most dangerous thing you can do is to take any one impulse of your own nature and set it up as the thing you ought to follow at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one of them which will not make us into devils if we set it up as an absolute guide.
Wow.
In other words, what he's saying is this whole concept that, well, no, everybody has their own right and wrong. It's foolish.
Right.
You cannot follow your own desires and expect to be a moral person.
Right.
Because my desires sometimes are to steal. I want that thing in the store.
Right. Well, and if we see something we like and we definitely want it, I mean, without the moral compass within us, it'd be ours.
Why not? Yeah. Why not? Or to sleep with every woman you see just because. Yeah. You know, you don't just take the impulse of your own nature and say, this is a good thing. All my impulses are good.
Right.
No, you say, I have these impulses inside me, but I know right versus wrong.
Right. And thankfully, we do have that moral compass within us.
Right. C.S. Lewis said, if your moral ideas can be truer than those of the Nazis less true, there must be something, some real morality for them to be true about.
Right. And where does that scale come from?
You know, where does it come from? Where does this real morality exist?
Right. It has to come from somewhere.
And we're saying it came from God. Now, if you think it came from evolution, you got to go to truthrevolution.tv and hear why it didn't.
Right.
But Yeah, we didn't get through all of our stuff today, but that's okay.
Sorry, we got a little segment coming up afterwards. If you can go to truthrevolution.tv, you can listen to the rest of it.
That's right.
And we'll have it.
And just remember, if you don't think morals are the same in all cultures at all time, even Christopher Hitchens agrees with us.
Our knowledge of right and wrong is innate in us.
That's right. It's innate within us. God designed it that way. It's all the way inside of us. So, all right, go over to truthrevolution.tv and check us out online.
Right, and check us out at Revolution Church
this morning.
Up in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So I hope to see you guys there. I'm glad you made it. If you want to hear the rest of the show, we're going to do another 5, 10, 15 minutes off air at truthrevolution.tv. We're going to talk about killing witches. Why is that wrong? And it wasn't then.
See you next week.
Truth Revolution.
And welcome to the online only portion of the show.
Okay, so get to right to the point, witches.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they killed witches, and they thought it was okay to kill witches.
Right.
Now we think it's wrong. C.S. Lewis says, only the facts have changed, not the morality.
Right.
If we thought that right now there were people walking around who could doom our souls, cast a spell on us and turn us into a donkey, enslave our children,
uh-huh,
we would kill them too.
Right, but society
would.
Does that make it morally right?
We would have to answer that question.
Uh-huh.
All C.S. Lewis is pointing out is the facts have changed, not the morality.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying.
We sometimes act like, oh, we're so much better because we don't kill witches anymore.
Right.
Well, no, the reason you don't kill witches anymore is because you don't think they exist.
Right.
Like people thought they existed 200 years ago.
I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Morality has not changed. It's just facts.
The facts have changed.
Gotcha.
Right. So, you know, like you find out, if you think someone is guilty of murder, you might be willing to kill them.
Right.
But if the facts change, you find out they're innocent, you're not willing to kill them.
Right.
Same thing with the witches.
Confused society, aren't we?
So, okay, look, we got to answer the question, does evolution cause morals?
See, I don't know how that would happen. I mean, I just don't see how through evolution we can get morals. I don't know.
Okay, Hitchens says,
I think it's degrading to the human, to us, to you and me, to imply, well, not to imply, to state directly that absent a celestial dictatorship that had some supernatural influence over us, yet to be established, by the way, as anything really existent. But without the assumption of it, we wouldn't know right from wrong. We wouldn't return stolen property if we found it in the back of a cab. We wouldn't give blood if someone badly needed a transfusion, unless we were afraid either of reward, either of punishment or desirous of a reward.
Okay, he's saying that religious people think that we do right and wrong because of punishment and reward.
Right. And that is right. That's the biggest problem with the argument right there, because that is not necessarily true.
Well, yeah, that's not true. We do right and wrong because God put that innately inside us, what was right and wrong is. And we choose to do right. We choose to follow God.
Right.
But he's missing the point. He's saying that he thinks, or I'm assuming, I guess, that he thinks evolution produced morals.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, no, God made the morals. It wasn't that we want to go to heaven and avoid hell. It's that God already told us what is right and wrong. It's innately inside of us.
Right.
In fact, Darwinism, evolution, does not foster morals. It fosters racism. In Darwin's magnum opus, The Origin of the Species, the lesser known subtitle is The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Yeah.
Interesting.
Darwin said this, the more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, when an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world.
Wow.
Darwin said that based on his understanding of evolution.
Hmm.
Evolution doesn't say be kind to everyone no matter what race they are. It says if you're better than another person, you have the right to take them out.
All right, question. Is Darwin basically, his findings are the basis of evolution, correct or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So why is it that they teach the theory of evolution in schools, but they don't teach stuff like that about lesser races and stuff? I mean, because then I think our moral compasses might see, well, maybe there's something wrong with that.
Well, because they don't need to teach that. They don't want... If everybody heard that, the innately moral compass inside of them that teaches them right from wrong would automatically say, whoa, that's crap. We're not going to agree with this. And so they don't teach that because they don't want people to reject it.
Right.
Now, on a higher level, there's certain places where they do teach that. Mm-hmm. In The Descent of Man, Darwin wrote, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races.
That's just sad.
Yeah, but and Darwinism not only fosters racism, eventually that racism turns into Nazism.
Right.
At a mass, and you're going to think I'm crazy, like, oh, here we go with the Nazi thing. Everybody gets all crazy.
Right.
But this is absolutely for real. At a mass meeting in 1934, the Nazi deputy, Rudolf Hess, he coined the phrase, National Socialism is nothing but applied biology.
Applied biology.
That's what National Socialism is.
Wow.
Richard Weikart concludes, Darwinism by itself did not produce the Holocaust, but without Darwinism, especially in its social Darwinist and eugenics permutations, neither Hitler nor his Nazi followers would have had the necessary scientific underpinnings to convince themselves and their collaborators that one of the world's greatest atrocities was really morally praiseworthy. Darwinism, or at least some naturalistic interpretations of Darwinism, succeeded in turning morality on its head. In other words, without Darwinism, they wouldn't have been able to say, oh, we're okay and they're bad.
Right. And I'll be totally honest with you right now. I'm really shocked. Because I knew that evolution wasn't right, because I mean, deep in my heart, I know that I believe in creationism. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I did not realize that the teachings, I just never really delved enough into Darwin's teachings to realize that that's where he was coming from.
Right. Well, I don't think that's the whole point of his teachings. Right. I think he thought he found a scientifically valid theory, but this is the natural outcome of it. Mm. So
it's kind of crazy and sad.
It is kind of crazy and sad, really. I mean, you got to be careful about that stuff. So, all right, check this out. There was a 103-year-old woman and her 83-year-old daughter. They were moments away from being evicted from their home when sheriff's deputies and the moving company hired by the bank decided to not go through with it. They said, we're not going to evict them. Fulton County sheriff's deputies and movers showed up at Hall's home after a bank planned to kick the two women out. The moving company and the deputies took one look at her and decided the 103-year-old lady would not be kicked out. I'll just leave it to the listeners here to decide, was that the morally right decision or not?
Really? And where would that come from?
Exactly.
Not evolution.
Evolution says the strongest survive. Uh-huh. You eliminate the weak. Wow. If you think that we need to help the weak, you are not an evolutionist. You believe that you have innate morals inside of you, because helping the weak has nothing to do with evolution. It has everything to do with God telling us to help the weak. It's innately inside us, right versus wrong. Right versus wrong shows that God exists. TruthRevolution.tv, and come on out to Revolution Church.